Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
Joining me for a few interview actually is Beverly Mayo, wife of David Mayo, general manager here at WHBR. And Beverly, it's so wonderful to have you here today.
Yes, thank you, John. And I'm just so excited to be part of the VFN TV family today.
Yes, you are. We are so excited to be talking to you today because we're going to be talking about human trafficking. My goodness, this is a multi-billion dollar industry that's criminalizing. I mean, it's criminal activity. And it's sex slavery. It involves bondage. 27 million people today, mostly women and children, are slaves. Slavery still exists. And we're going to be talking about that today and what we can do to be involved to help prevent this and to educate and to share awareness. But one of the first things we want to do is really get a proper definition of human trafficking, because a lot of times we hear these words, but we don't have meaning, we don't have context. And I want you to hear from Benjamin Nolo. He's the founder of Exodus Cry Ministries, and he's the one who produced the movie Nefarious, Merchant of Souls. And he's going to begin to break down this process. He's going to define to us what human trafficking is, but he's also going to talk about how these traffickers literally break these women down and how they become involved and caught up in this web of evil and how they become just victims and over and over and over again. Let's join Benji now as he shares with us human trafficking. Watch this.
What specifically is actually happening to these millions of girls around the world? And a typical scenario would involve a girl who's first brought under the control of a pimp, of a trafficker, of a brothel owner, and there's her introduction into a life of prostitution. This is one of the most horrifying things for me that I could possibly imagine, that a woman would be forced into a lifestyle of essentially systematic rape. And so as a girl is brought into this environment, there are very systematized ways that traffickers, that pimps, that brothel owners know how to bring these women and girls under their control. And it begins with a breaking process. It begins with a breaking down of that person's soul, of that person's spirit, of that person's body, of that person's psyche. They want to completely break that individual so that they are at the mercy and under the control of whoever that trafficker might be. And the process for that involves nightmarish activities of rape and abuse and gang rape and just violence against these girls to bring them to a point of being broken. Then there's a thing in psychological terms that we talk about called traumatic bonding that happens. And when somebody has had such violence committed against them, then there's a survival instinct. It's a psychological survival instinct that emerges called traumatic bonding, in which now I actually begin to bond with my abuser. I begin to bond with my captor because I'm trying to survive. And in that context is when these women and girls begin to become brainwashed by their trafficker about what they're going to do for the trafficker, about the sexual services that they're going to provide. And there's a brainwashing that occurs, and over time, these girls develop what is called Stockholm Syndrome, which is where they begin to identify with their captor. And so, in the 1800s, you might see a slave on an auction block with a ball and chain around his leg. Whereas today, that chain is psychological. And traffickers have become very sophisticated at knowing how to break down their victims, bring their victims under their control, so that they can put them out on the street. And we all think, oh, well, this is just somebody who's chosen to go into prostitution to earn money the easy way. When in reality, what's happened is she's been broken down through extreme violence, through rape, through degradation, and now is under the control and of another individual.
Wow. Benjamin did an excellent job of just educating us and sharing with us this process Listen, as the people of God, we have to have a heart of compassion and begin to start praying and getting involved. And that's why we have Beverly here today. When we get back from this break, we're going to hear from her. We're going to hear from the project that she is a part of and how we can play a role to stop this evil. I have the pleasure of being here today in the studio with Beverly Mayo. Wife of David Mill. 29 years you guys have held the fort down here at WHBR, and we are so grateful.
Thank you.
For your ministry and all the stuff that you guys have been able to do over the years. But yeah, we have a serious thing to talk about here today.
Yes, we do. But a byproduct of being able to help lead WHBR is meeting great people.
Oh.
And it's just been such a pleasure to have you guys here. And yeah, that is definitely a highlight of being able to be the shepherds of the station.
Yeah, that's so awesome. You know, we have a chance, and I'm glad to have you here because you're with an organization, Beverly, Project A21, that's doing something about preventing, educating, and ending human trafficking. But tell us a little bit about your story and how you got involved with A21.
Well, I will tell you, I only really became involved only a few months ago. I mean, I did not know much, but I don't know, but most Christians, you know, they'll say, Lord, you know, just break my heart with what breaks your heart. Mm-hmm. And of course, just praying that. And then sometimes he does, he'll break your heart. So I was reading a book called Passion, and with my Bible study, and Christine Kane had a chapter in there. And I was only vaguely familiar with her, but I read the chapter, and just sometimes it grabs you, and it just grabbed me. So I went to YouTube, and I just started watching videos. And that's how I found out about A21, which means abolish slavery, sex slavery, human trafficking in the 21st century.
Wow, so that's what A21 stands for.
A21 means abolish human trafficking in the 21st century, which is a great goal.
Yeah, it is.
And only through God can that happen.
Yeah.
So but just the more I saw, the more my heart broke. And really, and then just to know that there was nothing out there. No one knew anything. Even the most faithful church goers and those that, you know, prayer warriors.
Yeah.
I mean, really,
yeah.
You know, those that are just really very dedicated to being, you know, Christ-like. Mm-hmm. But still, just not a lot of information.
Right, right.
So I thought, well, if I didn't know a lot, maybe there's a lot of other people. So really, I'm getting involved for myself, but also to bring awareness to our area.
Isn't that so important? Because we cannot, even the Bible tells us in Romans 14, how are they going to believe in the one they don't even know about? And how can they know unless someone goes and tells them about the Lord? And how can really people be involved to take action and be a part of ending such human, I mean, evil? 27 million people today. My understanding, it's, we've never in our existence of our world has had that many amount of people held in bondage.
Yeah. 27 million, with the UN, these are statistics from
right.
The UN, 27 million worldwide. And this one I had to read two or three times, but it's $150 billion business.
$150 billion.
That's why it's so organized right now. Actually, the human trafficking organization copied the drug cartels.
Yes.
Because it just works. You have so many middlemen in between. So it copied that. So basically, you know, it does help some of the FBI, some of the undercover people, because mm-hmm. they're using some of the same networking. But yeah, it's because they're so, you know, if we can stop the money flow,
yes,
you know,
absolutely.
which is, you know, that's when, you know, trouble starts.
Yeah. And this is something that's happening globally all around the world. And you have victims, I mean, children.
Yeah, the average age is 12.
Isn't that amazing?
The average age. Now, there's some, you know, they target. It's not like a girl's just walking by and they grab her.
Mm-hmm.
They actually scope, you know, get so much information, of course, with our social media. But they usually have it planned weeks ahead of time who they're going to get. It's not just sometimes, oh, you happen to be at Walmart today and you're by yourself, I'll grab
right.
you. No, it's very methodical.
Isn't that interesting? I mean, the Bible tells us that the enemy roars around, you know, roams around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he can devour, and that he has strategies.
Oh,
he has strategies,
yeah.
and these they're targeted. They're they're being focused on, whether it's because of lack of education, maybe poverty. But from what I'm understanding, that is spread even, it doesn't matter now.
It used to be, or people assume, it's in the lower income, mostly because, they would want to stay with perhaps parents that might can spend money to try to find them. But no, they're grabbing, high society girls.
It does not matter.
It's easier to grab them because, they find them at some of the nice nightclubs, and they're just a bit easier, actually, to grab.
Well, what I found, and kind of piggybacking on something that you said earlier, is that reports are that it's more profitable now for these drug dealers to get into the sex trafficking industry, because they sell a drug once and then it's over. Mm-hmm. But if they traffic a human being, they're selling that person over and over and over again. And when you think about the brutalization, and you think about how these women and these children are being victimized over and over again, it causes us to be shredded if we really take the time to look at the reality of what's happening.
Right. And also, whenever these girls, a really horrible statistic is only 1 to 2 are rescued.
Wow.
Yes, only 1 to 2% are rescued.
Right?
That's the stronghold with this cartel, with this human trafficking mob, is what I call them.
Yeah.
It's just so strong, and they have years ahead of us. Well, I will tell you, only about 15 years ago, where A21 started in Northern Asia, and so Christine came in there again. The Lord's just stirring her heart. There was not any laws against it. The first thing she did was go to the constables. They actually changed laws to make it a crime to kidnap girls, and of course a small percentage are boys, and even some adult women, but to even make it a crime, so then they could start prosecuting.
Wow.
So in just as little as 15 years ago. So, praise the Lord that she, followed that, because she was only told you cannot do that. They'll never, add that. But, again, when God is with you, we know God never sleeps. He's 24/7, but the enemy never sleeps as well. He's 24/7. But again, she just stayed with that and got law. So now they can prosecute, even though that is probably the hardest.
Yeah. You know, what I find, too, is that a lot of people now are beginning. We're not fully there yet, but they're beginning to be awakened to this reality. And one of the things that has helped are these documentaries and these movies. And one particular organization is Exodus Cry. I think they were birthed out of Kansas City International House of Prayer. And there's a movie called Nefarious, Merchant of Souls. I strongly recommend that you get a chance to look at this documentary, because they take you around the world to show you how this thing is actually done. And then they share testimony of women that have been rescued, they've been restored, married, have families, and just to see how the hand of God is working to end this. I believe, just like A21, and you do too, that we can come and put an end to human trafficking in the 21st century. But A21 has an interesting way of putting their multimedia together. We have a story, Natalie's story, that I'd like our viewers to see, so they can see more about what is happening through A21. I want you to watch Natalie's story now.
It was shocking for me to find out that right now, in the 21st century, there are more people trapped in slavery than ever before. One has to wonder, how is this happening? We see these statistics like 27 million slaves, but the truth is that numbers are numbing. Numbers are dehumanizing and desensitizing. And it becomes so easy to ignore suffering when it remains nameless or faceless. In fact, it's so easy to be overwhelmed by the enormity of the problem if it seems so large that none of us could make a difference. But if you can break that number down so that it represents one human being, one life, one story, then that changes everything. One story that profoundly impacted me was Natalia's. She went to a coffee shop to meet up with a guy that her friends introduced her to. She was so excited about going on a date. She remembered laughing and talking with him, thinking they were having a great time. What she didn't realize was when she went to the bathroom, he drugged her coffee, causing her to pass out. He then threw her in the trunk of a car as if she was nothing more than a piece of baggage. When he arrived at the Greek border, he simply paid off the security guards and entered the country freely. When she awoke, she was in a different country, chained to a bed. She was raped and beaten repeatedly. 2 weeks later, Natalia was sold as a sex slave. This to keep happening. Human trafficking is our modern day Holocaust. We can't turn a blind eye or a deaf ear to the cry of millions who need our help today. Freedom is the right of every human being and is a cause we must all fight for. The whole reason we started the A21 campaign was to rescue, restore, and rebuild these broken lives. Natalia found hope when she was rescued and brought to one of the A21 safe houses. We provide girls like Natalia with life skills, job training, and help them to take back ownership of their lives. Ultimately, restoring their dignity, giving them freedom, hope, and a brand new chance at life. A21 lawyers helped to see Natalia's trafficker sentenced to 15 and a half years in prison and given a €108,000 fine. When we don't allow ourselves to be overwhelmed by the statistics, then you and I together can bring justice and freedom to those in need. We have such an incredible opportunity to make a difference in our world today. This is our time. This is our moment. We need to act now.
Wow, what an amazing story and what an amazing organization.
Oh,
I mean, I'm grateful for those that are awakened and like yourself and what you're trying to do to awaken others. But don't you see, Bailey, from your opinion, why do you think that so many of us become apathetic, that we've no concern? What do you think is going on in culture that 27 million people are literally slaves? And most Americans and even a lot of Christians are going on like,
right.
Well, who cares? You know, who knows?
You know, most of it is ignorance. We think it's over there. We think it's far away. And again, that's why the human traffickers have just gotten years ahead of us. They're just implanted. But, you know, we're still not going to give up. And I'll tell you, probably the thing to start with is awareness.
Yes.
You know, they're just right in front of us. Here in Pensacola, and in Mobile, Fort Walton, they're right here. We actually have a presence because of the I-10. Pensacola, we're known. Our interstate is known as a major gateway for human trafficking. I don't know when you were listening to the video, the girls are held. They're gone. They go to brothels, and obviously they're used for a while. But then they're sold to an individual.
Wow.
And owned. You know, they're locked in the house, but a lot of, you know, some truckers. One of the big things in America, because we can't have slave auction, you know, blocks that still do exist in Asia, but we, you know, they have to be a little more sly here in America, but some of the truckers are involved with that, you know, helping them move to their final, you know, whoever buys them, their final destination. And, every time I hear something in the paper or online, and just a few weeks ago, there was a couple that were caught, which is big news, you know, when you do actually catch someone, because the girl got away, because there's a hotline number, and that's another thing that we're going to push now, but got away, was able to call, and they had a camper, and that's how they went from state to state. And they were bringing one of the girls that was inside the camper when they were rescued. They were bringing her to Pensacola. I mean, this was on the Associated Press. I thought,
wow.
They were bringing her here. I don't know. These things just grab me and just, again, just break my heart. But again, we're going to start with awareness. We just need to open our eyes. We cannot be caught asleep.
And that's so important, because if we don't even know that it's going on, and I think you hit the nail right on the head, because I think people think oftentimes, especially us in the West,
right,
it's happening somewhere else. It's in another country. It can never happen here. And it's happening here. It's happening
it
in every neighborhood, every socioeconomic background. It doesn't matter.
That's true.
And they're attacking, I mean, our children, and then they disappear. When we get back from this break, we're going to continue to bring you more stories that help us to see a victim attached to what this human trafficking is all about. And our hopes is that we begin to be burdened for all of these children, all of these women, all these people around the world that are being abused in such a way, and we will be mobilized to do something about it. I am with Beverly Mayo. We're so pleased to have her here today as we're discussing human trafficking and what we can do to play a role, to play a part in ending this evil, really, that's happening. And Project 821, the organization that you're with, and that they're doing a phenomenal job. I saw that they focus on four key areas: prevention, protections, partnerships, and restoration. And actually, they want to
prosecute. Yes.
So talk to us about their prevention, because I know that part of it is awareness, but the other part is about education. Talk to us about the curriculum and things like that.
Well, again, how we're going to start is just awareness, mm-hmm. letting people know that, well, it's in America.
Yeah, hello.
You know, and then, you know, keep trying to localize it, that it's just really in our backyard. It's in our own Target, our Walmart, our school systems. Matter of fact, reading through some of the literature, you know, I'm trying to educate school bus drivers.
Wow.
Yeah, I've already given some curriculum, to one of the middle school principals here, because you do have to have someone that's a part of the school system. Just letting them know statistics. But the thing is, if our eyes are open spiritually and literally, you can, even in the grocery store, you might see something that just seems a little odd. Mm-hmm. But again, we keep to our own business.
And, yeah.
But it's just learning to what to look for. And again, we're hopefully, as a Christian, we have that discernment also,
right,
to know that something is wrong here. So again, just the prevention is just raising awareness right now. So we're going to start, these little victories until we get to the big victory.
You have to start somewhere. Is there anything in particular that it is in their training, or you may know that we could definitely look for that would be maybe a sign or potentially a clue?
Well, obviously, if you see a young girl getting in, getting into a truck or whatever, with an older man, and obviously she looks distressed, that's one thing. But again, what they're doing is, again, they're scoping out, they're mm-hmm. Trying to be smart about it. But let's say you're in Walmart in the toy section, you have your 7-year-old girl. Well, another 7-year-old girl or 10-year-old girl may be looking at toys too, and they start up a conversation, and you're thinking, well, maybe this girl goes to my daughter's school and everything's fine and they're just chatting. And then you go over maybe to the milk section and you look, well, that girl might be there, and you're thinking, oh, well, good, then they must know each other. And so they send plants, with the brainwashing, they'll send a plant. But as a matter of fact, one couple was caught, and I mentioned Target, and I'm not trying to pick on Target, but this is just
it's a true story. Any story,
right? And it was in the South. It wasn't Pensacola, but it was in the South. But anyway, but the mother kept trying to talk to this other 10-year-old girl, and she was a little standoffish. And again, it was that that's kind of weird. And then I don't see her with. I wonder where her parents are. They don't care if she runs off and plays with these little things that make you think something's off. And so by the time she, went through the grocery store section, saw the girl again, who had only really talked to her own daughter, not necessarily with her, she went up to the cashier and said, listen, I think there's this girl over there. She's acting kind of strange. I don't even know. I don't think her parents are in here. And the cashier said, well, I've seen that girl talking to a grown man. Maybe that's her father. I don't know. But mm-hmm. her father has not moved from that corner over there. So the cashier said, why don't you just go to the patrol when you leave here and just, get them to walk you to your car.
Sure.
So when the lady and her daughter went to get just a security escort to their car, apparently they thought they were being turned in because of the little girl, the 10-year-old girl, and the guy just ran out the front door, and there was a car waiting, And there was also another guy in the parking lot that they ran to pick up. So it was a few involved,
right.
And they never did catch them. You know, they got away, but it's just looking for oddities that you may see that just doesn't make sense, and just, you know.
And a lot of times you have a sense. The Holy Spirit will speak to us many times, and I think we often overlook mm-hmm. those small promptings, those small whispers, and we just say, oh, that was nothing. But we need to be paying attention. Exactly what you're talking about actually occurred in one of these young ladies. In fact, her name is Nicole, and she describes her testimony and how she was used to seduce other girls into sex trafficking. This is an amazing story, and she shares how she broke free. Watch this.
He made the comment to me about, you know, I can help you get clean. You can go with one of my girls to Chicago, just go get clean, and then you can come home, just start new. So we were in Chicago for a little while, and I got clean, and then we went back to Myrtle Beach. Well, while we were waiting for my luggage to get there, the girl that I was in Chicago with, he brutally beat her in front of me because he said that she was eavesdropping on our conversation, and it literally put the fear of God in me. He informed me that if I ran off and left him, he would hunt me down and murder me and murder my family. I was so terrified of this man. I mean, if he said jump, I'd say how high. He said that I had the personality to bring girls home to him and that they trusted me because I looked like an all-American white girl. And he turned on an iron that you iron your clothes with, and he said that he was going to beat me in the face with it if I didn't tell him why there was not a girl in his kitchen, why I didn't bring someone home for him that night. There were certain rules that we had to follow. We had to try to make over $1,000 a night for him. We weren't allowed to have cell phones. We weren't allowed to go home. If we wanted to call home, we had to be in the room with him. He forced me to have 2 abortions. And I had no choice whatsoever. And that was probably the hardest. I constantly did play out scenarios of how I could get away from him. Pimps, when we were in Houston, Texas, were getting arrested left and right. And I'm like, why can't they get arrested? Like, why can't they get us? Like, please, someone come get us. After years of going through everything that I went through, I was just at the point where I wanted to die. I thought about it and I was like, well, if I'm gonna die, I might as well go home. So I took $300 from his main girl, his bottom girl's wallet, and I stole her cell phone, and I ran down 3 flights of stairs and hopped into a car with a guy that was backing out of the hotel room. I called my mom and I told her what was going on, and I was like, I'm coming home. And she called the police for me, and the police came and escorted me to the airport. I felt like I was a charity. And then when I met A21, they just made me feel like I was one of them, you know? They helped me out, and what they're doing to try to put an end to human trafficking is absolutely remarkable.
What an amazing story. Mm. It's happening in the United States. It's happening in America. They're partying. They get trapped. They get taken away. And they never envisioned that. They never saw that. I remember a story, especially in particularly during the Super Bowl and these big sporting events,
huge.
They bring these girls, these women across the state. It is a million-dollar, multi-billion-dollar industry, and they're being victimized. And now the police are doing all these things and all these operations, but it's mothers selling their children.
Yes.
It's fathers selling their children.
Mm-hmm. You would be surprised at a lot of the girls are found through a family member, you know, that's, hey, you know, well, because $150 billion is a lot, and they can pay a lot. But when you're talking about the Super Bowl, that is huge. It is, that's, there would be me guessing that they would probably make half of that just with big arenas like the Super Bowl.
And yeah.
And certainly the big, you know, college towns, college football, you know, with the Big Ten, the
Absolutely.
SEC and all.
But, well, my heart breaks, you know, just here in our community not long ago, they had spring break and you have all these young girls and all these young men that are coming. They're partying, they're getting drunk, they're doing drugs. There's a drug out there called Molly that just is destroying so many young people, and they're being victimized. Right. And I'll tell you that a lot of times, you know, a spirit of rebellion that gets on a young person and they think they're just doing some things that their parents don't want them to do. Let me tell you, the way sin is, sin will make you go farther than you ever wanted to go, make you pay more than you ever wanted to pay, and Satan will lure you. He will bait you, and you only wanted to do this much, but then you've opened the door to a world of evil that you can't get out of. And so it matters. It matters that, you know, we're doing the right thing before
right.
God.
And really, it's not even just those that are, you know, the mollies and all the drugs out there. But again, they're going to Starbucks. They're going to coffee shops, blind dates, the e-dating sites, and again, just putting something in their coffee.
And a drink.
They're so brazen. I mean, they're just right out in front of our faces.
Mm. You know, I love what 821 is doing because they're not just talking about awareness, which is important. I mean, if no one knows, then we don't know. But they're also talking about education, and they developed what looks to be an excellent curriculum that now it's being approved in the school system where students can be educated on what's a commodity and you know, sexual abuse and all these different things so that they can be, A, not a victim, but two, they can be part of the solution. This is something that's going to require all of us to get involved, all of us to play a role. And 821 goes a little bit further from what I understand, that they work with restoration and they have facilities.
Yes, they do. They're in 10 different countries, and there's two headquarters in the United States. But yes, matter of fact, we actually have a safe house that's only about 3 hours from here. It's the closest one here.
It's on the Gulf Coast.
Yes, it's on the Gulf Coast, right. And of course, they're secret. Matter of fact, even on their website, they don't give addresses, of course. But again, I've been fortunate enough. I've met with Homeland Security here just trying to get some inside facts as much as I can. Obviously, he could not give out a lot, but just again, the more I know, the more I can educate, the more I can bring awareness to it, and the more I can help.
That's
which
right.
again, which is, I mean, I'm learning just the same as you and your viewers. I mean, I'm just learning a lot. I just know that this is breaking God's heart, and it certainly needs to break ours.
Absolutely. When we get back from this break, we're going to continue to talk about this plight and how you can be involved, because Beverly's going to share with us an answer how we all can get involved in the Gulf Coast to play our role in ending human trafficking and sex trafficking in the United States. We're going to be going and transitioning now into seeing more of these stories. You know, there's nothing like a personalized story to drive the point home what these women go through. And one of the things that I found alarming, appalling, is that these pimps, these traffickers, literally brand these women. They tattoo them.
Yeah.
And CNN recently did a segment about how the one woman got free and how she's helping other women get free and help to take that visible shame off of their bodies. Watch this.
I've been kidnapped, held hostage, I've been sold. It happens on every street, in every city, in every country. And it happened to me.
Jennifer Kempton's story starts like so many victims of sex trafficking. A dysfunctional family, abuse, neglect, and rape by the time she was 12.
That emotionally destroyed me. And then the years that followed just added to that. I had a series of very abusive relationships, eventually falling into the hands of the one that I thought was just my saving grace and was going to give me that love I had always looked for.
Her so-called saving grace was a trafficker named Salem.
Shortly after being together, he introduced me to IV drug use.
Drugs and sex trafficking often go hand in hand. Traffickers intentionally get their young victims hooked on drugs as a way to control them and eventually force them into prostitution.
I was told that I had to use my body to take care of us now, and I started dancing at the strip clubs. I wasn't making as much as he wanted me to, and he approached me with the false hope that I could make three times as much money in 1 hour by just doing simple massages. Needless to say, on the way to my first massage client, I was told that I had to do whatever the man asked of me.
That was Jennifer's entrance into the dark underworld of sex trafficking, where she was battered, bruised, and branded. Salem owned her, and as proof of ownership, he had his name tattooed on her body multiple times. Eventually, he sold her to a gang that branded her again. She wound up spending more than 5 years on the streets of Columbus.
It's a miserable existence.
By her 30th birthday, she'd had enough.
I was so lost, I tied a rope around my neck twice and hung myself from one of the rafters in the basement. I was so done with being used and abused and the addiction, and I was done with all of it.
Jennifer Kempton didn't die that night. The rope broke, and in that moment, she found a reason to live.
God came to me and spoke to me, and he said, I have a purpose for you, and it's not to die in the basement of a crack house.
Getting out wasn't easy. As hard as she fought against drug addiction and emotional stress, the tattoos were a constant reminder of her years in sexual slavery.
The horror that I had seen, the violence I had suffered, the misery I had lived in, the rapes I went through, and the men I was sold to. I was reminded of all of it, every time. I finally earned enough money to get my first of four cover-ups. It was so liberating to take his name off of my body and have what I want there. But I still had these other three tattoos, one on my neck and one right above my groin that actually said property of Salem, and one on my back. So no matter what way I looked at myself in the mirror, I was always seeing one of those tattoos.
Jennifer told a human trafficking advocate about the property of tattoo she had on her groin.
She saw it, and it made her sick to see that my trafficker had labeled me in that way as his property. She immediately took a picture of it and sent it to a family member of hers, and that family member agreed to sponsor me to have the rest of my cover-ups done. And that is what started Survivors, Inc.
Through Survivors, Inc., Jennifer offers financial help to women in recovery who want to cover up their brandings. Women like Angela Ritter, branded by the drug dealer who trafficked her, eager to put that part of her life behind her for good.
Finally, I'm going to be me again. You know, I'm not going to belong to anybody but God. And that's how it's supposed to be. I can't even put words to the excitement and the joy and the anticipation.
Hey, nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
You ready to get tattooed?
I'm ready. What it's going to be like in the morning to wake up and look at myself in the mirror and not see Wax Cash Ho. All right, let's do this.
Amazing. You know, Jesus died to set us all free. And if you're watching today, and maybe you've been victimized, Jesus died so that you can be free, healed, restored. The Bible says that if any man, any woman be in Christ, old things pass away, and behold, all things become new. You're a new creation in God. And so he can save you, he can redeem you, and he can use you to help others. But Beverly, tell us, as we come to the end of our program, what can we do? I mean, I know you have an event coming up. What can we do to
play? We do. And again, it's to raise awareness. October the 17th.
Yes.
Okay, October 17th, all around the world. Paris, London, Atlanta,
wow.
Pensacola. I'm so excited to have Pensacola on there. But all around the world, in all 10 countries plus more, you know, where A21 is, everyone on October the 17th is going to have an awareness walk. It's really a solemn walk. You just wear a black T-shirt. Now, we have some with A21, mm-hmm. black T-shirt with A21 on them that you can purchase. But anyway, it's to raise awareness, you know, to make, you know, hopefully in the paper or people driving by, you know, what is this? To let them know that it's here.
So it's happening.
So October 17th, you can sign up. You can go to a21.org/walk. And then just look for Pensacola. And
give us that website again.
It's a21.org. And then /walk, so it can go directly to, so you can register for the walk, and it's free.
Okay.
Yeah, the walk is free. And I believe Mobile is going to have one as well. I'm just,
great.
You know, pretty
yeah.
involved with the one in Pensacola. I know we're so excited.
But you can be involved with the one in Pensacola.
Oh.
If you're listening in Mobile, you can come for
yes,
all
you
over.
Can.
Come on
oh,
the Gulf Coast.
Certainly. Just sign up. You know, make sure you sign up because then we can start giving you, you know, some of these stories and, you know, letting you know a little bit more before the actual walk. Now, the Saturday morning, our walk starts at 9 o'clock.
Okay.
But probably starting around 8 to 8:30, we're going to have music. We're going to have a little stage with some live music. But we're going to have resource tables. Again, if you're an educator, you know, there's things that you can do that are implemented already in mm-hmm. other school systems. You know, learn about that. Plus, we have certain charities that... you know, it's an intermittent safe house, like a 2-week safe house.
Okay.
If there is a rescue locally, for that, so we're just gonna have resource tables.
That's wonderful.
Set up.
Where exactly is the setup?
I'm trying to get right in the middle of Pensacola, so people can just walk. We're gonna walk around Cordova Mall.
Oh wow!
But we're gonna start. It's the corner of 12th and Bayou.
Okay.
There's a church there, First Assembly of God, and they're letting us use their big parking lot. We're so thankful for
wow.
that. So we're going to have the big parking lot set up right there, and that's where we're going to start our walk at 9 o'clock. And we're going to have a policeman, you know, as with us to help us, you know, cross the street safely.
Wonderful.
But, you know, it should be a single file, slow walk, and it's only right at 2 miles, you know. And then when we come back, we're going to have more music. We're going to have a few speakers. And, again, just to get some things into your hands. For you to just be aware, the hotline number, you know, who to call first, who to call second, or if you're just wondering, maybe, is this odd behavior to you? You know,
wow.
just some encouragement. So, you know, victory is never solo,
right.
ever solo. It's always teamwork.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, just with the banner, one of the Lord's names, Giovannisi, is the Lord is my banner, but it's teamwork. You
yeah.
know, when Moses was holding up his hands, that's holding, you know,
that's
Aaron
right.
and Herbert's holding up Moses' hands so yeah. they could continue to get victory. And as soon as they had victory, then Moses made a thing right there, and he
yeah.
called it, you know, the Lord is my banner. That's how he got that.
That's beautiful.
So victory's never solo. We have to join in.
We have to do it together. Well, listen, I want to encourage you to be a part. Register today. Beverly, would you close us out in prayer?
I would love to. Thank you.
Yes.
Yes. Father, we just come to you, and we just thank you so much
yes.
for allowing us to for our hearts to be softened for these girls, Father God. And again, I just want to have your nature
yes.
in your heart. I just want to have what your mission, everything, Father God. I know our time is limited here, but we are just going to be your hands and your feet while we are here. And I pray, Father God, anyone that is listening that already knows something, just give them that courage and that strength, Father God, to take that next step toward victory, Father God. Because even when we slip and even when we fall forward. We fall towards you, Father God, every time, and you're always there. Your arm is not short.
Yes,
your
Lord.
Arm is long, Father God.
Yes.
It can reach to Asia. It can reach to all these places, Father God, and even in our own backyards to help these girls, to save
yes.
these girls, Father. Continue to break our heart with what breaks your heart, Father God. And I just pray that everything we say and we do will honor you. In Jesus' name.
Yes. Dear
Amen.
God, end abortion, end human
yes.
trafficking, and send a third great awakening. Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
You've just been listening to the highlights from VFN-TV and the Daily Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. Don't forget about our VFN TV app, where no matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share it with your friends. We want to thank our sponsors and partners who make this program possible. Take the time and support our sponsors. You can locate them at VFNTV.com and select sponsors. If you'd like to become a sponsor or a partner, you can do so at VFNTV.com. VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light.